Good evening. It is 5 p.m. on Thursday, April 9th, and you're tuned in to CFRC 101.9 FM broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and this is Kingston Currents, your weekly roundup of the latest Limestone local news. CFRC's news programming is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcast, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. In today's episode, we'll be covering Partners in Mission upcoming food blitz this weekend, Via Donor Month and Green Shirt Day with the Transplant Advocate Association, a celebrated Canadian artist with roots in Kingston hitting the stage with the Kingston Symphony this weekend, and more. Without further delay, let's dive in. This Saturday, April 11th, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., Partners in Mission Food Bank will once again host its annual food blitz at grocery stores across Kingston. Teams of volunteers will be handing out collection bags to shoppers and collecting donations. Their goal this year, to collect 25,000 pounds of food and raise $30,000. 2025 marked the fifth record-breaking year in a row for the food bank, with over 22,000 household visits and helping nearly 10,000 people. And already, 2026 is on track to exceed those numbers. Partners in Mission Executive Director Dan Irwin shared with CFRC what he's seeing in the community heading into this year's food blitz.
We had a record year in 2025. It was our fifth record year in a row. We helped 1 in 17 people in Kingston and Loyalist Township with food. That is a shocking number. And the first 3 months of this year, our household visits are up 22.6%, which is unbelievable.
Spring and summer are typically slower months for donations, making this campaign critical for the months ahead.
Yeah, our timing with our event this spring is to help, number one, remind everyone that there are neighbors in need in the community and hunger is 365 days a year. And two, we're trying to restock and build our reserves, I guess we'll call it, as we come into the slower donation months.
I was wondering if you could expand a bit upon that, about what the summer looks like, and again, what hitting this goal means for the next few months.
Certainly. Over the summer, we see very few donations. Everyone's busy with their summer lives, and as we know in Canada, we don't get a lot of summer, so we want to enjoy that as much as possible. Unfortunately, the donations drop. So what we need is this lift in the spring to help stock our shelves, give us more money so that we're able to buy what we don't get, and really just help us keep going through the summer.
This will also be the first year Partners in Mission is in their new, larger space for this campaign, a move Irwin says happened at the right time.
We moved in our new space in April of 2025, and it's been amazing. Our clients love it. Our volunteers love it. It's just a much more dignified space and experience. That, with the growth, was good timing because we're able to continue to keep up to this growth. Our old space, we would not be able to manage these high of numbers on a daily basis. So it was good timing to move, and the space enables us to store more food. And with the money we get, we can also buy larger volumes and save those deals.
But even with that expansion, the bigger picture remains. Demand is climbing, an increasing concern not only for this campaign, but for the city as a whole. As you mentioned earlier, visits are nearly 23% higher than this time last year. You've already had five record-breaking years in a row. And you've said many times the community is always very generous in this campaign. But do you worry we're kind of nearing a limit in terms of keeping up with need?
I'm really worried about that. At what point will there be too many people using our services versus those who can afford to donate? And when we tip that balance, it's going to be ugly.
For now, Partners in Mission is counting on the community to step up once again. What items are you most in need of right now?
We're always looking for canned meat and canned fish, peanut butter or nut butter type replacements. Stews and chunky soups are very important, boxes of breakfast cereal, and always we're in need of baby food and the larger size diapers, the 3, 4, 5s, and wipes, please.
And how can folks contribute?
We'll be at 8 grocery stores on Saturday the 11th from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m. Tanya's No Frills, Andrew's No Frills, Loblaws, both Loblaws, Freshco, Food Basics on Highway 15, Food Basics on Princess Street, and Food Basics at Gardner's Road, RioCan. If you're shopping that day, you can donate money or food there. Or if you're not able to make it out on Saturday, if you can go to kingstonfoodbank.ca and you'll see donate in the upper right-hand button, and you can click on the Food Blitz and make a donation for that.
Fantastic. And I was wondering if you could, just to finish us off, give us just a few words of encouragement for folks who are considering donating this weekend or who are just out and about this weekend, you know, what this event kind of means for the community, both for those donating and for those receiving.
Every donation counts, whether it's small or large. It all adds together. We do not receive government funding. We rely on our community to support our neighbors in need. So every donation helps, and our volunteers are out there. They want to have some fun. They want to collect some money, and they want to make a difference. So they'd love to see your smiling face. And if you can't make a donation, just wish them a good day, and they will be able to move on and help the next person who wants to make a donation. And thank you so much for everyone for their help this weekend, whether you're a donor or a volunteer. It's hugely important for us to help our neighbors in need.
In front of City Hall on Tuesday, a green flag was raised, marking more than a moment of recognition, but a call to action. Members of the Transplant Advocate Association gathered to mark Green Shirt Day and Be a Donor Month with a flag raising and proclamation ceremony. The organization works year-round to raise awareness about the urgent need for organ and tissue donation, and as a support network for transplant recipients, donors, and their loved ones throughout the region. April is a particularly meaningful time for the group. Green Shirt Day, observed April 7th across Canada, honors Logan Boulay, the young hockey player whose decision to become an organ donor saved six lives after he and several of his teammates died in the tragic 2018 Humboldt Broncos bus crash. Logan's story encouraged more than 150,000 Canadians to register as organ donors, more than ever before, arising from just one event. April is also Be a Donor Month, celebrated annually to bring awareness to the need for organ and tissue donation in Ontario and to inspire people who are not currently registered to do so. Mayor Brian Patterson was present to read the official proclamation for Green Shirt Day and Be a Donor Month in the City of Kingston.
I, Mayor Brian Patterson, on behalf of Kingston City Council, hereby proclaim the month of April to be a Donor Month and April 7th, 2026 as Green Shirt Day in the City of Kingston, and I hereby encourage all Kingstonians to be organ donors in their community. Thank you very much.
This year's Be a Donor Month comes as over 1,700 Ontarians are currently waiting for life-saving organ transplants. And every 3 days, someone dies waiting. Thousands more are waiting for life-restoring tissue transplants. Just one organ donor can save up to 8 lives and enhance the lives of up to 75 others through tissue donation. The Trillium Gift of Life Network reports that while more than 90% of eligible Ontarians indicate that they are in favor of organ donation, only 35% are registered to be organ donors. At the ceremony, TAA members, including President Simon Labette, shared their stories and encouraged others to ensure they're registered.
My wife, Celine Labette, who you will hear about more from Teresa later today, had a double lung transplant in 2005 and had 21 years of extra life because of one donor's decision. And if today does anything, it reminds us all of the power we each have to support, to connect, to say yes to something that can truly change lives. Please register as a donor, just like Logan Boulay did. Thank you very much.
Natalie Witten with Kingston Health Sciences Center's Kidney Transplant Program also spoke to the impact of donation.
Spreading the word and talking about organ donation and transplant with your families and friends truly does make a difference. And we're lucky enough to be able to be witness to that in every day at work. So thank you so much.
For those gathered, the ceremony was a reminder that one decision can save many lives. Ontarians can register online by visiting beadonor.ca or in person at any Service Ontario Centre when renewing their license or health card. Before we get into more local news this evening, let's take a look at your weather and traffic report for the rest of the week with CFRC's Jesse Bell.
This is your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. We begin with Thursday, April 9th. We're back to that lovely spring weather. Daytime high of 13 degrees in the forecast with just a 25% chance of precipitation. We're going to see mostly cloudy conditions, and there will be a decent amount of wind blowing, but still much preferable to what we had. Friday, April 10th, daytime high of 10 degrees with a 65% chance of precipitation, feeling closer to 6 degrees because of the rain. Saturday, April 11th, this is more like it. 14 degrees, mix of sun and cloud. It's going to be a gorgeous spring day. And that's going to follow up into Sunday, March 12th, another double-digit day, 13 with a mostly sunny condition. And starting off next week, Monday, April 13th, we've got a 13-degree day with lots of sun in the forecast. This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week, and just bear in mind, winter overnight street parking restrictions have been lifted as of April 1st. We begin with two long-term road closures. Berry Street to Queen is closed for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street, and Aberdeen Street from Johnson to William is closed indefinitely to accommodate construction activity and staging in the area. We have some short-term road closures as well, including Wright Crescent at Palace Road, which is closed for a contractor to complete roadway repairs, pedestrian safety and access improvements, and traffic calming features on Wright Crescent. There is a minimal traffic disruption on Bath Road to Sir John A. MacDonald Boulevard. Expect delays for the installation of intersection pedestrian signals. The city is installing intersection pedestrian signals at several locations to make it easier and safer for pedestrians to cross busy roads. They are installing these signals at the following intersections: Bath Road at Lafleur Park, Concession Street at Kings Court Avenue, and Stephen Street at Patrick Street. And that's a wrap for your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. Safe driving, everybody.
Thank you, Jesse. Now back to more local news.
A celebrated Canadian artist with roots in Kingston is returning to the stage this weekend. Three-time Juno-nominated singer-songwriter Jill Barber joins the Kingston Symphony for Under Paris Skies, a concert of timeless French classics, Saturday, April 11th at 7:30 p.m. at the Kingston Grand Theatre. Known for her blend of folk, jazz, and chanson, Barber will perform iconic songs like La Vie en Rose and La Mer, transporting audiences into the heart of Paris. While she hails from Mississauga, Ontario, and is now based in Vancouver, Barber graduated from Queen's University in 2002 and began her early music career performing in local venues. I spoke with Jill Barber about the show and what it means to return to the city where it all began. Well, to start us off, you studied at Queen's University. How does it feel to be returning to Kingston to perform at this part in your career?
It feels incredible. I had such a great experience attending Queen's and living in Kingston, and it means so much to me to be returning in this context, to be presenting this show, to be collaborating with the Kingston Symphony, to play the Grand Theatre, where I saw so many shows as a student. I have so much affection and so many happy memories of my time in Kingston. So it really feels like a homecoming of sorts.
Mm-hmm. And was that kind of your initial reaction when you got this request from the symphony to come in?
Yes, it was absolutely top of my wish list to get to do this with the Kingston Symphony. I've created this show along with musical director Drew Jureka and a conductor, Lucas Walden, and we've put this package together, and we've been approaching symphonies across the country. And so we're doing a handful of different shows with different symphonies, but the Kingston one was definitely, to use a French term, like un coup de cœur, like it was a special one for me. It is a special one for me. So I was so pleased when they signed on.
Awesome. Well, we're excited to have you back. Getting into the show, tell us a bit about this program. What can audiences expect from Under Paris Skies?
Absolutely. So for the last, I'd say, decade or so, I've been really preoccupied, maybe a little bit obsessed with old French music. I just love the way it makes me feel, kind of romantic, and it transports me to another place, another time. It's very sensual. It's very beautiful. It's very dramatic, this French material, these old French songs, the most celebrated kind of grand chanson. And so I've recorded a couple of albums of my favorite songs, and this is the live version that we're presenting, but it's totally over the top with the addition of the symphony orchestras. So it's very musically rich, very evocative, and the whole hope and goal of these shows is that you can come in, sit in your seat, sit back and relax, and really be swept away to another time and place. You can close your eyes, and the idea is that it's a very cheap trip to Paris, and you get all of the benefits, all of the romance, and all of the kind of dreamy romanticism of Paris from the comfort of your seat, wherever you happen to be. So it's very, we're trying to transport people and inspire and really take people on a trip.
You kind of got into it there, but how does performing these songs with the full symphony kind of change the experience, both for you as a performer and for the audience?
It's unbelievable from my perspective. There's something so classic and so powerful about a symphony orchestra, and each musician that in the orchestra that has reached this level has truly mastered their instrument and has truly dedicated so many hours and so much passion and dedication to their playing that when they all come together, it's just, it's magical. It's absolutely magical and powerful. And to be up there singing alongside a symphony orchestra for me is just, it's like the Mount Everest of performing experiences, truly. And hopefully from the audience point of view, they can just, you know, have the music wash over them and be really swept away by it too. So it's really special for me. I mean, it's also so funny for me because I think back to my time at Queen's, you know, that's really where I started performing in front of people. When I was in first year, second year university, I was playing the open mic nights and the coffee houses. And then I formed a band and I was playing at pubs around Kingston. So for me as a singer-songwriter, I feel like the whole experience of performing with a symphony orchestra has totally elevated my abilities to deliver a performance. And so I'm just kind of riding high on what the symphony orchestra is doing. And I'm also really, like, I've tapped into my inner diva for these shows. So I'm doing a lot of costume changes, and I'm, like, really trying to inhabit the character and the songs as well. There's just something about the lushness of an orchestra that kind of makes me feel like I'm not quite myself. I'm like some movie version of myself or something. So it's like it's as if it's a soundtrack that's kind of lifting up my performance.
I was wondering what drew you to French chanson in particular, both in the context of your career and as you were putting this show together. What about that specific genre really drew you in?
So I'm an Anglophone. I didn't grow up in a French household. I did go to French immersion when I was a child, but I quit after grade 6. I actually begged my parents to let me out of French. I didn't like it at the time. I found it challenging. And I remember saying to my parents, I just want to read and write in English. That's my language. French doesn't speak to me. And it was only as an adult and as a touring musician where I started to play more in Quebec. And there was one fateful evening in Montreal. I was performing at the Montreal Jazz Festival, and I really wanted to address my audience in French, but was very insecure about my French skills. So a friend of mine translated one of my songs into French for me to perform live that night. And there was just something about getting my mouth around my own words, but a French version of them. It felt like I was tapping into just like a whole other side of myself as an artist, as a performer, or just even as a person. It's as if I have this like old French soul that had been kind of dormant, just that was really awakened that night. And so I was so inspired after that evening, especially given the audience's reaction. They were so appreciative of me singing in French. I was so inspired that I actually enrolled myself in a French school for adults in the south of France. And I went for a month. And then the next year, I went back for another month. And anyway, I just completely immersed myself in the French language and in the French culture and in all the old French music. And so I just kind of, I sort of just fell in love with the way it made me feel. It was like, even if I didn't understand every word, I could feel the emotion, because I feel like the French, you know, a singer like Edith Piaf, like she sings so passionately and the words just roll off of her tongue in such a visceral, sensual way. I'm really attracted to that. And so I kind of feel like I'm an Anglophone, but I have this French alter ego, and I really like to spend time with her because she's a lot of fun. And so that was the whole motivation for recording French songs on my own and for creating this show that could hopefully share some of that feeling of putting on rose-colored glasses, you know, with my audience. It's a really nice feeling to escape this time and this place and all of the challenges of the day-to-day and just allow yourself to feel a little more romantic about the whole world.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you have a favorite song or a song that's very special to you on this program?
I would say it's a tough call because I dearly love so many of these songs, and there's lots of different flavors. There's one that I love to sing called Padam Padam, because it's one of Edith Piaf's most famous songs, and it's a song about a woman kind of going mad. And there's something very liberating about kind of inhabiting that mad woman character and kind of going a little crazy on stage. And as you know, especially with the symphony behind me, kind of creating the soundtrack for a kind of a crazed mind. That's very, very fun to perform. But there's another song called Les Feuilles Mortes, which is the French version of the great jazz standard Autumn Leaves, which is just a heartbreakingly beautiful song about lost love. I love performing that one. And then I also do, in the whole program, I do one original song, one song that I wrote. And it's just one quiet moment where the symphony takes a break. And it's a brand new song of mine called Box of Wishes that I'm really proud of. And it means a lot to me. So it's really nice to perform that original song in this program as well.
Awesome. And one more question about Kingston as you're returning here, probably for the first time in quite a while. Are there any specific locations that you're excited to revisit and see again?
Yes. Well, I have a reservation to go for brunch at Chez Piggy, which is a restaurant that I worked at myself. I worked mostly in the bakery at Pan Chancho. I was a dishwasher when I was a student. And my shift started at 5 or 6 p.m., and went till about 11 p.m. or midnight. And so I have a lot of memories of late nights leaving the bakery and walking home to my student home, my student housing, where I had four other roommates. And I would bring home the bread to my roommates that wasn't sold that day. And myself and my other four roommates, we all lived on University Avenue. We would feast on the baguettes that didn't sell. And that's the flavor of that time in my life when I was in my early 20s and had my whole life ahead of me. I was definitely writing a lot of songs at that time as a kind of a newish singer-songwriter. So anyway, I always have to go back to Pan Chancho or Chez Piggy when I'm in Kingston, because it's delicious, and it's delicious to taste the nostalgia of those places for me. So they're total institutions for me, and I have a real personal connection. So I will be having brunch the morning after at Chez Piggy.
Awesome. And both were lifelong fans and people new to this genre. What do you hope folks take away from the night?
I mean, I think it's a perfect occasion to get a little dressed up and have an evening out that feels a little different, a little more elevated, you know, get a little culture, support your symphony orchestra, and feel the power of being kind of swept away by all of those, all of that incredible musicianship. And as for me, I really feel like my job as the guest singer is also kind of like to host everybody and to make everybody feel cared for. And so even though a lot of what I'm singing is in French, I contextualize all the songs and tell little stories about what I've learned about them. And I do that in English. So I don't think anyone should feel intimidated if they don't speak French. I will be kind of like a tour guide, in a sense, walking folks through the repertoire and hopefully just entertaining you. I mean, really, that is my, that's my goal, is to entertain and inspire and to have people leave feeling a little lighter than when they arrived.
That was Jill Barber performing with the Kingston Symphony this Saturday, April 11th at 7:30 p.m. at the Kingston Grand Theater. For tickets and more information, you can visit the Kingston Symphony website or call the Grand Theater box office at 613-530-2050. That is all things current in Kingston for this week. Thank you for listening to CFRC's local news programming brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcast, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. To revisit episodes and listen on the go, head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University, situated on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of the Faculty of Engineering and Applied Science.